this morning, and we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Get to where we're at. And we're talking about the home and home building. And we have been talking for the last few weeks, and we'll, Lord willing, finish it this morning, the biblical role of the wife. And this is the second part of that lesson. And we started off talking about the creation of the woman in Genesis chapter 2. Then we saw the corruption of the wife, and basically the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And then we saw that during that fall, something happened to marriage. It happened to the union, the perfect union that God had set up between man and woman. And then we see the correction of the woman, but really the correction of the family is salvation. Amen? Only Jesus can bring this thing back together. And then we spent some considerable time talking about the character of the Christian woman. And the first thing we talked about was submission. It was a pattern given to us in 1 Peter chapter 2. And that is of the church, how it is to be submissive. And then the pattern of Jesus Christ, who is submissive to his Father. And then we saw the procedure in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We dove into that last week. And this morning we're going to pick it up there on the beginning of these notes where it says sanctity, all right? So if you see where it says sanctity, you have to flip the page over probably. And this is godliness or holiness of life and character. All right, so under this sanctity, we have proper outward adornment. And your blank there is outward. And so this is, we're talking about the wife this morning. And so, Leroy, we'll just have to bear with it this morning. Amen? proper outward adornment. And if we look here in a few passages of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be an outward adorning of prating of hair, a plaiting of hair, and of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." Now, we're going to say some things this morning, and I'm going to put this out there, all right? I say some things that might be controversial, all right? But they all come right out of the Bible. They all come right out of the Bible. I was asked before I came to Lighthouse Baptist Church. The Lord was, you know, opening doors, and it seemed, and I candidated at several churches, and one of them was in Idaho, and I went to that church and candidated. I didn't actually go there. I doing the phone interview first, you know, because I was in Virginia at the time. And one of the questions that the men on the, you know, the deacon board there, they asked, they said, "Would you preach that women should not wear pants from the pulpit?" My answer was no, I would not preach that. All right, that's not, to me, that's not important. I think salvation is important. That's what's important, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think we do have standards. Right, there should be standards, and you derive those from principles in God's Word. And my standards may not be anybody else's standards. Does that make sense? But our bottom line is we derive our standards and our way of living from the principles given in the Scripture. And for that, they said, "Well, we don't want you as our pastor because they went the other direction than I'm going with that direction." And I don't agree with that, you know. I said, from the pulpit, I will preach salvation by grace through faith. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we ought to read our Bibles. And I'll talk about purity. I'll talk about all kinds of things. But I'm not gonna beat up people over the head for what they wear. And that would be wrong. But we're getting into a subject here where we're gonna have to talk about it, or it's just the elephant in the room. All right. So we'll be talking about it a little bit. And I'll give you some of my insights, and we'll just look at what the scripture has to say, all right? So don't get mad at me. I'm saying all this to say this. Don't get mad at me. All right? I love you to death. You understand, all right? So we understand each other. All right, proper outward adornment. And the Bible uses this word chaste, and this would be a chaste covering. And so we're going to look at two things here. Fleshly adornment. And these verses are not saying that a woman cannot wear nice clothes, makeup, jewelry, or have a nice hairstyle. What it is saying is that letting these things become what brings attention to you is what's wrong. That makes sense? And I remember when I was in college, before, you know, in college you're having... in fact, in my Bible college, the notes we're going through were part of the notes that they were going through in Christian home class. And so I remember all the guys were looking for girls to marry, you know, in Bible college. And all the girls are wanting to catch a guy, snag him, you know, and pull him in. And the saying is, how you catch them is how you're going to keep them. You understand? If you catch them with your beauty and your outward appearance, you got to keep that. If that's all he liked about you, you got a problem there. Because you know how when you get older, it just happens to all of us, the best of us. You know, we're not as thin and as trim and as nice looking as we used to be. You know what I'm talking about, Leroy? And that's how it goes. And so we're not looking at this outward adornment. We're looking at the inward adornment. So there's two approaches that the Bible uses to this. We just read 1 Peter. Keep your place here because we'll be back. But turn over to 1 Timothy, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 29. And there's another passage that deals with the same thing, but from a different perspective. We're going to look at the positive approach. Then we're going to look at the negative approach to the same truth. 1 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." So in the beginning of that verse, we have this a positive, this is how you ought to adorn yourself. This is what we put on. And then we're going to look at the negative approach. This is what you don't put on. So look at a few words in this verse number 9 there. The word adorn is your first blank there. The word adorn means to put on, put in order, or to arrange. So women are to adorn themselves. So there's supposed to be some order about this thing, right? And then we see this word modest, adorn themselves in modest apparel. The word modest means decent, respectable, honorable, orderly. And so when we talk about decent and respectable, honorable, a Christian ought to bring glory to whom? God, right? So everything about our appearance, and this isn't just women, this is men as well. Everything about our appearance, and men aren't so worried about the clothes we wear and that type of thing. We're not going to care less about that, but we certainly have an ego. Now, do we not? We have that. And so we adorn ourselves in different ways and present ourselves in different ways than a woman does. But all of us ought to adorn ourselves in modest apparel, right? Modesty. And in order for when someone looks at this person, they glorify God in heaven. Amen? They're not glorifying the person. They're glorifying God. Now, you ought to look. So in other words, you ought to look nice, right? You got to look very nice. And when I come to church, I try to wear my best I have. The best I have. It may not be very nice compared to someone else, but that's the best I have. And I'm going to give God my best. And people are going to see me, and they're going to see, well, that person, there's something different about that person. I don't know what it is. And if they ask, I say, well, it's the Lord. I serve the Lord. And I do the best I can for him. Amen? And so, modest apparel. And then the word apparel means clothes. And then we have this idea of shamefacedness. And this is modesty not to extreme, all right? Not extreme. And so it has this idea of just, I'm not trying to be the one out there to get the most attention in the room. And we live in a day, Where people have orange hair, they have purple hair, they have all these different colors. And, you know, I've asked people, why do you do that, you know? I asked one girl one time, I forget where, we were just walking down the street, and she was walking by, a little teenage girl, and I said, why do you have red hair? I mean, it's not, I mean, there's red hair, there's natural red hair, you can always see that, but I'm talking, this is like, it's very fake, you know? And I'm looking at it and say, why would you do that, you know? I'm just curious, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, just, she said, well, I want to stand out. Well, she's in this group of teenagers, and all of them had the same color hair. I said, well, you just blend in, you know. I couldn't understand it. It just boggles my mind. But we live in a day where we want everybody, look at me, we want to stand out. And the Bible has this idea of shamefacedness, modesty, not extreme, you see. And the last word there is sobriety. In verse number 9, it says here, shamefacedness and sobriety. The word sobriety means sensibleness, common sense caused by self-control. And we have a whole lot of people out there not living in sobriety. Amen? Especially when it comes to adornment. Now let's look at the negative approach to this. And we have some of this right here in verse number 9 of chapter 2. It says, not with broided hair. Broided hair, and it's the same word as plaiting in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3, I believe it is. And with this, in the culture, in Paul's day, it was a thing to take gold, like laces of gold or silver or even pearls, and to interweave them into the hair to gain attention of men. All right, it was a thing in their culture. And we have the same thing today with highlights and all kinds of stuff. And so Paul, he's talking this in this verse. He says, not with broidered hair. It's not necessarily that broidered hair is always wrong. It's like, if that's what you're trying to, if that's what you use to get attention to yourself, we have a problem here. That makes sense? That's what he's saying. A costly array, says, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And this would be expensive garments. We live in a day where, you know, and I have three girls and a wife, and I know exactly what we're talking about. We drive by a store, and we were driving by a store the other day, and out of the back of the car, someone says, that woman doesn't have any arms. And I'm thinking, what? It's like, what are we talking about? I mean, it's just out of the blue. I'm just driving my truck, you know, And someone from the back seat says, that woman doesn't have any arms. And I mean, I totally missed it. There was a mannequin in a window way back in the back there, you know, and when someone says, look over there, and I looked over there, back behind me, I kind of got a glimpse of it. A mannequin standing there in a dress, and it didn't have any arms. And so that's what they're talking about. I tell you, girls go window shopping. You know what I mean? And we got to have the most expensive array. And God is saying here, that's not what defines a godly woman, you see. Whoever has the most expensive dress at the party is not who God's looking at, you see. God looks much deeper than the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Amen? Looks at the heart. All right, let's look over at wearing of gold. That's your neck blank. Wearing of gold to put around refers to jewelry. Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse number 3, it says there, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair. That's the broidered hair talked about in the other passage. Wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And so that wearing of gold is talking about jewelry. Now, I'm not saying that jewelry is wrong. My wife wears jewelry. My wife has her ears pierced, and that's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. But if that's what defines you as who you are, that's not what God is looking for here. He's looking for your heart. He's not looking at your outward appearance. And putting on of apparel means adorning with garments. So note here that in your notes, the husband needs a wife to make herself beautiful for him. And so that's the main duty of the wife, to look beautiful for it. She's not looking beautiful for the rest of the world. She's looking beautiful for her husband, all right? I mean, that's what we're That's what the Bible has to say. So do the best with what God has given you. Consider the following question: is my husband pleased with my clothes, my grooming, my hair, my figure, my fragrance, and go on. For ladies and men as well, Song of Solomon in the Old Testament is a very good book to read. Amen? For married couples especially. But we see here that the wife is there. Her main duty is to please God, but also to please her husband. And my wife, you can ask her, she'll never buy anything, clothes, in the area of clothes, without calling me and asking me, or if I'm there to see it. And she's called me and done a FaceTime. So Julie's standing with the FaceTime outside of the changing room. Does this look nice? No, whatever, you know, just get it, that's fine. And we have a big joke about that. I tell her, everything you show me, honey, I'll just say yes, it looks great on you, you know. And we have a funny thing going on there. But she wants to please her husband. The key is that the inner attitude of godliness is more important than the outward adornment. All right? So what does your heart look like? God looks on the heart, does he not? And that's the main thing. I have told my wife it doesn't matter what she looks like, because I know her heart. She is a godly woman. She loves the Lord. She is a prayer warrior. I tell you, my wife is, and she's not here, so I can talk about her behind her back, you know. She is a prayer warrior. When she prays, that's one of the reasons I married my wife. I noticed very free, and when we were in high school, when she prayed for something, it came. I was like, I want that woman for my wife. I want her praying for me. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. And I look at her, and she is beautiful to me, and outwardly, but not so much outwardly. She's beautiful inwardly, you see. And praise the Lord for that. All right, so proper inner attitude is the next blank there, proper inner attitude. So we talked about proper outward adornment. Now we're going to talk about proper inward attitude. All right. So the proper outward adornment is fleshly adornment. You're robing the flesh here, and the flesh is only skin deep. The flesh is gonna die one day, give or take 80 years old, and it's gonna be put into a grave, and it's gonna be rotting. But the inner soul lives for eternity. Amen. And so this is where we focus this morning. This is where we focus. And this would be chaste conversation. I'm not going to turn to Proverbs 31 yet. We'll look at that in just a moment. But we're looking at these two passages, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Look back at 1 Timothy 2 again, and let's look at verse number 10. So we're kind of flipping back and forth between these two passages. The Bible says, but... So we read verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But, verse number 10, which becometh women professing godliness and with good works. So women are to adorn themselves not with the outward apparel, but with the inward attitude of godliness, is what this verse is saying. Amen? And then we look back at 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse number 4. It says, but let the hidden man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is corrupt, not corruptible, even the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. After this manner, in old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. And so we have a few outlines or words to define here in our notes. So this is the faithful adornment. I think you have a blank there for faithful adornment. It's not fleshly adornment, it's faithful adornment, all right? Faithful. This verse shows that what is the godly, what is of importance to God. All right, number one is a meek spirit. Amen? A meek spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4. God wants us to have a meek spirit. And we're specifically pointing out, and we got the women up here on the shooting block, you know? They're on the firing line. But men, we need to have a meek spirit as well. Amen? It's important for us. I think we all need to be meek. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is meek and lowly. Amen? Moses in the Old Testament was the most meek man ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. And so it's not wrong for a man to be meek as well. But God wants in a woman, he wants a meek spirit. And this is showing controlled emotions. Controlled emotions. That's what the word means, the Hebrew, or the Greek word in this passage. And I know that's hard. That's very hard. And I know because I'm married. And I have three daughters. And sometimes our house is a, well, never mind. I'll just leave it there. But you know how that goes. But I tell you, we need to control those emotions. All right. Sometimes emotions can cause ladies to say, and a wife to say things that she regrets later. Sometimes emotions can cause anger to swell up, and sometimes emotions can cause bitterness. And we've had to deal with that in our house as well. And emotions can really, we don't make decisions based on emotions. You know that? Emotions are a tool. It's like a barometer. It's like hot or cold. When you get angry, it's anger is an emotion. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Some things ought to make you angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. So you don't let that anger control you. It's fear is not necessarily a bad thing. When you're on the side of a cliff, that's a 1,000-foot drop. You better have a little bit of respect for that height, don't you think? And just stand back a little bit. We went up there on the mountains and went to this canyon, Creek Road up there, down there near Melrose, and walked out to a pinnacle, and it was about 200-foot drop down to the creek there. And you stand on the edge of that, and we were on a pinnacle standing out there, and I mean, I'm looking up, it just started getting dizzy. Swimming. I'm looking this way, it's straight down, looking this way, it's straight down, right in front of me, straight down, and I'm just like, whoa. I backed up, you know, I'm a little afraid of heights. And I don't need to be tripping and falling and slipping off this cliff to my death. I got a family back in the car back there, you know. And fear is not a bad thing. But when you let fear control you, it's a bad thing, is it not? It paralyzes you. Pain is not a bad thing. I'm thankful for pain. My goodness. You go touch the stove. And if I didn't feel that, my hand just stay there and just burn away to nothing. I'm thankful for pain. It doesn't feel good, but it makes me stop. Amen? But when pain controls your life and you never want to move forward and do anything, well, then you got a problem too. So meek spirit, that's and then also in verse number 4 there, a quiet spirit, meek and quiet spirit, showing a controlled tongue. This goes right along with the meekness. The wife should speak without shouting. Amen? And this is a thing. We need to watch this in Proverbs 21, verse 9. She should request without nagging and rebelling. And these are just things that is hard for a wife sometimes. These are the touching points here. The next blank you have there is obedient submission. Obedient submission. And this would be showing faith in God, showing faith in God. In our verse there, it says, after this manner in old time, women also who trusted God. So here is, and the example is given in verse number 6 of Sarah, who obeyed her husband Abraham, and she called him Lord. She had respect for him. And in verse number 5 there, it says, she's one of these holy women, and she was in subjection to her own husband. But why was she in subjection to her own husband? Was because her husband was perfect and never made a mistake. You go read the story of Abraham. Abraham made his wife, he forced his wife to lie on 2 occasions. And it almost got her killed one time and almost got her to be in a place where someone was going to commit adultery with her another time. Abram was not perfect by any means, any stretch of the means. But she had respect for her husband, submitted to him, not because of her husband, because she trusted in God. Amen? And so an obedient submission, and this is showing faith in God. Your husband's not perfect. Don't expect him to be. But God says to have submission to him, so do it. Amen? That's what he's saying here. The next one here is sober. Sober. And I think we look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 for this one. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers," and there's the word sober, "faithful in all things." Also, we have this mentioned in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. Another parallel passage here, it says that they, talking about the young women, that they may the older women should teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. This word sober has the idea of sensible, clear-minded, of a sound mind. And so don't get caught up in the soap operas of the day. Keep your mind clear, right? Don't get caught up with the, you know, sometimes we just get, life gets to us and we get overwhelmed. Keep yourself sober. Keep yourself sober. Don't let that happen. Discreet is the same Greek word as sober, and it's used in these passages as well. The next blank you have in your notes there is chaste. Chaste. And the word chaste means free from fault, above reproach, or pure. And we saw this word in many of these different passages we looked at. But God wants us to be free from fault. He wants us to be pure. He wants a woman to be pure. He wants men to be pure. Amen? So he wants purity out of us. And this is getting rid of all of our, you know, anything that has to do with our sin nature and our fleshly nature, that just needs to go out the window, and our heart needs to be pure before God. Good. There's a word here used, and it's good. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. In verse 5, it says, "Be discreet, chaste, keepers at the home," and the word good. This word good means beneficial or useful. Amen? So a wife ought to be useful. Men, you ought to be useful too, but here it's specifically about the wife. She's to be useful. Useful to your husband, you know? Help him out. Help the guy out a little bit. He needs a lot of it, you know? And I know that my wife and I, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I'll talk about that in a minute. The next blank you have there is virtuous. Virtuous. And this is a force of strength in mind and character. Force of strength in mind and character. Now, I'm not going to turn to Proverbs 31 yet. We're going to turn there in just a moment. But virtuous, that's a passage about the virtuous woman, and we'll explain more about that in a moment. And then the last one here is wise. God wants us to be wise. He wants the women to be wise. And in other words, putting the knowledge of God's word to use in your life. That's what wisdom is. Amen? So you go and you find out what God wants, and then when a decision comes up in your life to make, you make a decision based on that knowledge. That's wisdom. All right, so notice in your notes there, you have a note. The faithful attitude and adornment will attract a godly man. A fleshly attitude and adornment will attract a carnal man. I think there are too many girls looking for husbands and looking for a mate in life that are going about it and attracting the wrong men, because all they're worried about is the outward apparel. They should be worried about the inward apparel, correct? The inward man, the inward attitude. I think there are godly, there are Christian women all across, Christian wives all across this country that, whether they know it or not, because they're so focused on their outward apparel, they're not pleasing their husband, but they're attracting all of their men, and carnal ones at that. And that is dangerous for homes all across this country, is it not? That's one of the reasons homes fall apart. So let's look at number 5. The last point we have in this, the notes on the biblical role of a woman, is the calling of a Christian woman. What is she called to? She's called to be a helpmeet. Amen? A helpmeet. And so you have a blank there for the word helpmeet for your husband. And we saw that word in Genesis chapter 2. I want us to turn now to Proverbs 31, and we're going to read this passage. It's several verses, but I think it's important for us to see these verses this morning. Proverbs 31, and starting in verse number 10, You know, there are passages that a man, I think, should memorize. I think Proverbs chapter 7 be good for men to memorize that chapter. Very important. And just have it in your mind and follow it. This is a passage I think would be good for women to, wives, to, or any woman, to memorize. All right? Verse number 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." In other words, the virtuous woman's husband isn't worried about her flirting with other men. He trusts her. Verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She made that decision a long time ago. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's not lazy. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. This is an amazing, it's almost like she's an executive of a house, you know? She's like got this big manor, and maybe it's just a little shack that she lives in, but she's got a family, and this is my house. She takes ownership, and she says, this is how we're going to run this thing, and that would be a good grocery store to go at, because it's cheaper than this one. And I tell you, I find these coupons in here, and I could save a whole lot of money. And she's just on top of it. She's on top of it. She's not living life, as my pastor in North Carolina used to say, by the seat of her pants, you know? She's just moving forward. She's planned this thing out. Look at verse number 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. And she's burning the light at both ends of the end of the candle. She's a hard worker. She layeth up her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In other words, she doesn't just care about her family, but she's mindful of others as well. She's a true Christian. Verse number 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's planned for winter long before it came. That's an interesting concept. She's made sure that her children got what they need long before wintertime came. She's been planning ahead, you see. Verse number 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. And so verse 22 there, she adorns herself. She's dressed very nicely, is she not? Yet it's not this plaiting of hair. You can honestly see from this passage, a virtuous woman is not so much worried about her outward appearance. She's more worried about her inward attitude and her inward heart. But she's still dressed nicely for her husband. She still looks nice for her husband. In verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. He sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, there's been a lot of men who could have gone places if it hadn't have been for their wife holding them back. But this virtuous woman's husband is well known. He sits in the gates. In those days, the place in the gates was a place where the prominent men sat, and that was where judgment was falling out. That was where the government of the city would sit. And so this man is very influential in his community. And one of the reasons he is, and he may look at it and say, "Look at me, I'm just like a best thing since sliced bread." Really, it's the woman behind him that's made him who he is. You see how that works? This virtuous woman has been building up her husband and supporting him, and he doesn't have to worry about what's going on at the house because the house is being taken care of by his wife. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't have to worry about unruly children because her wife is taking care of that at home. His wife is always supportive. His wife, he says, "Hey, did I have that report? Where's that?" And she says, "I got the report. It's all printed out. Here it is. And your tie is crooked, by the way. You got to fix that." You know, just the little things. She's helping him out. She's making sure he's presentable to the world. And sometimes, guys, we need that, don't we not? Because we're pretty much idiots, you know? We need someone to take care of us. And to make us, and sometimes we get this prideful thing in our minds where, wow, we really made a good speech there. It was all my wife. She helped me out with that. I can't take half the credit. Verse number 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And so she's even taking care of the finances of her home. Who said the Bible says a woman has to be barefoot and pregnant all the time at home? Here she is trying to take, she's got a side job. Amongst all the other things she's doing, she's got a side hustle. She's taking care of financial things at home. Isn't that amazing? Verse number 23, strength and honor at her are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Let that verse sink in for a while. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth and eateth not the bread of idleness. That's something. She's not going to be found idle. Verse number 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. All right, so we have this passage, and like I mentioned, this would be a wonderful passage to memorize for all ladies. I think it'd be a good one. But look at some definitions here. We'll just finish out our notes very quickly. Notice the definitions here given. To be a help. That's a definition of help means to be a help, an aid, or support. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. All right, so here's how this virtuous woman practices her life. Number one, she gives her husband peace of mind. Peace of mind. And you have a blank there for peace. And that's found in verse 11 of Proverbs 31. She does her husband good. The second blank is good, verse number 12. She helps him. She is useful to her husband. She's helping him. And we saw in verses 13 through 22, verse 24, 27, all through this passage, we find she is not lazy. She is not lazy. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. You see a virtuous woman, and very rarely you will see her sitting down. And that this, I'll tell you, this is an exact description of my wife. My wife cannot sit down for a minute. She's just bouncing to and fro, back and forth. And I come home and I'm tired. You know, I've worked all day. I'm hard. My brain hurts. And if I've done cabinets, my every muscle in my body hurts and all these type of things. I come home and I just want to sit down and do nothing. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. And my wife just won't stop. She's just back and forth. I'm just like, sit down. She said, I can't sit down. There's stuff to pick up. And I'm like, the house looks great. Sit down. Enjoy it. She said, no, I can't. I got to do this laundry. I got to make sure this is, and it's over here to ironing. And she's just back and forth, just like a ping pong ball. I'm like, sometimes I have to make her sit down. But you know, she's a virtuous woman. Adding to her husband's ministry, and your blank there is respect and influence. We saw that in verse 23 there, her husband is known in the gates. Why is he known? Because she is supporting him. Amazing thought. And then being her husband's best friend. Best friend. And this comes out of Song of Solomon and also Proverbs 18. But a husband and wife ought to be best friends. When there's no one else to turn to, I mean, like no one else in the world to talk about something, my wife is there. She's my best friend, and she needs to be. Praise the Lord, she is. Now, look at what else she is called to. She's called to be a helpmeet, but she's also called to be a home executive. Home executive. And we saw this in this passage here. She loves the family, lover of the family. And that's a blank there, lover of the family. The second blank is keeper at the home. Keeper at the home. And I wrote this in here. Maybe a better title for the wife should be vice president in charge of domestic tranquility. Pretty good title, don't you think? Maybe you should put that over your kitchen. I am the vice president in charge of domestic tranquility. Praise the Lord for that. The next blank is builder of her house. Builder of her house. And we saw that the wise woman buildeth her house, the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. The next last blank there you have in your notes is raiser of the children. Raiser of the children. And you see that in the, lined out in this passage. She in verse 28, she says, her children arise up. She's raised her children, and when they rise up, they call her blessed. Praise the name. Praise the Lord for that. So a few things to think about here, and I'll just finish up with these thoughts. Note the first importance, the most important sphere of influence for a Christian wife and mother is the home. We live in a society today where women think they need to go out and find a career, they need to go out and make a name in the world, they need to, just like in verse 23 there, her husband is known in the gates. She's not known in the gates. The husband is. But if you look deeply at her, at that man in the gate, you'll see that there's a strong woman behind him. And we live in a day when women think they need to leave the kids in daycare, they need to leave the kids there, and they need to go out and make a name for themselves. And what has happened to our country? Our country has fallen apart, literally, because the family unit has broken down, and now society is breaking down because of that. I tell you, if women had, if women, Christian women, would just notice that their most important sphere of influence that they have is the home, raising your children, making sure they are godly, making sure they're risen, raised correctly, and know the Word of God, it can't be neglected. If a Christian wife is not acting biblically, the Word of God is being evil spoken of. And the adversary is being given an occasion to speak reproachably about the things of God. And this comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, and Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake here for the position of a wife in the home and a mother. Very, very important. And so we finished up this morning the biblical role of the wife, and we'll move on to child rearing. Next week. All right, so let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving us the family, the home, and where there can be a man and a woman, one man, one woman, married and becoming one flesh, and then children that rise up and call their, give respect to their father and call their mother blessed. Lord, if we just did this the Bible way, we would have so much joy in our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help us just to look at our families and make sure we're doing it in the Bible way. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.